Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, May 8, 2016, 2 Timothy.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, we're there by way of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord, we give you a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood, the opportunity to examine your soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly, you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and now you are qualified to do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. Shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for that logistical grace which has been poured out on us to keep us alive one more day right in the middle of the devil's world. We thank you for that grace that has given us the opportunity to assemble this morning to worship you through the study of your word, that we might continue in our spiritual advance and fulfill those objectives that you have for each one of our lives. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. This study that we are doing on Sunday morning, come on in. Fine. Come on in. Ezekiel chapter 18. Come on in. You're fine. Very good. We're in Ezekiel chapter 18. We are in the middle of a special, and this special will be made available if you either ask the deacons or go to uplandbiblechurch.org. This will be a special, a pleasing special. There you go. That's pretty good. You want to have a pleasing special. So there will be a pleasing special made available. MP3s, it'll be made available for anyone worldwide to get this as soon as we finish. We're not finished yet, so the special will not be made available till I finish. And some of you are sitting there and going, well, The rapture will occur before that takes place. Maybe. I'm not in charge of the rapture. Jesus Christ is in charge of that. So it will be on His perfect timing. I know that. So we are on a special, pleasing special. And we got into this pleasing special from our study in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in that passage, 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, which sounds like this in corrected translation. Therefore you, pastor, teacher Timothy, my student, keep on becoming strong in that grace which is in Christ Jesus. And the things, the doctrinal teaching that you have heard from the source of me, Paul, as Timothy's pastor and theological professor, in the presence of many witnesses, deposit these same doctrines to faithful, dependable, reliable, consistent men who are of such a quality, that is faithful, reliable, consistent, that they will be qualified to teach others also. And then he goes into a series of analogies to emphasize the importance of self-discipline in the ministry. He's, by interpretation, this passage is being taught to pastor teachers, by interpretation. By application, it applies to the whole royal family of God. So all of you come under the application of the principle. But in these three analogies, the emphasis is always the same. It's emphasizing the importance of self-discipline. The first analogy that teaches this is the military. And that's verses 3 and 4, which says, suffer evil and hardship with me as an honorable and excellent soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier who is serving on active duty in a military campaign becomes entangled in the affairs of civilian life for the purpose that he might serve and strive to please his commanding officer. For us, our commanding officer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who enlisted us as a soldier at the moment of our salvation, at the moment of our faith in Jesus Christ. So here is this concept of serving and striving to please God. And that's a very wonderful study in the Scriptures. What pleases God? And on the other hand, what does not please God? And that's what this special is all about, to find out what pleases God and what does not please God. And in the process of this study in the Word of God, it also tells us how God thinks. And it's very important for you to know how God thinks, because how God thinks is directly related to what pleases God and, on the other hand, what does not please God. And we learn how God thinks from the Word of God, which is called the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16. So right here, and you have these in your laps, we have God thinking. And the more we study the Word of God, we find out exactly how God thinks. And when we find out how God thinks, then we can please God. In 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is the commanding officer of every member of the royal family of God. And to serve and to please our commanding officer demands maximum self-discipline, humility, authority orientation. It is the Lord Jesus Christ as our commanding officer. He's the one who gives us the orders. And we either from our free will can obey Him or disobey Him. But they're His orders. Pleasing our commanding officer demands then separation from the distractions of life. It is recognizing that the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine, the thinking of our commanding officer is far more important than anything else in life. Becoming entangled in civilian life is analogous to reversionism and being under the influence of evil. The soldier who is serving and striving to please his commanding officer, Jesus Christ, is analogous to the winner believer. This winner believer has reached spiritual maturity through great self-discipline. He has advanced from babyhood to adolescence to spiritual maturity. He has seized and is holding the high ground of spiritual maturity. But to seize and hold the high ground of spiritual maturity and not to retrogress into reversionism demands that you keep on, keeping on with great self-discipline. There is a tendency among believers to set aside that self-discipline once they reach spiritual maturity. They think that they have arrived. They think that they don't need that same self-discipline. And sadly, they retrogress. They become sloppy and inconsistent in assembling in a local church to learn God's Word. But in the plan of God, you will never get away from the principle of self-discipline until the day the Lord calls you home, or the rapture, whichever occurs first. Self-discipline must be as much a part of the mental attitude of your soul as food is for your body and air is for your life. Sloppy believers, on the other hand, have very little or no self-discipline of soul. The reversionist has very little or no self-discipline. Self-discipline means having the self-discipline to serve and strive to please your commanding officer, Jesus Christ. Self-discipline demands separation from the distractions of life. Self-discipline means you strive to please your commanding officer, Jesus Christ. You do your job as unto the Lord. You live your life as unto the Lord. So this has brought us into a special, the pleasing special. And in that pleasing special, I'm not going to go over all of the things we've taught. It will be made available, like I said. You can talk to the deacons. You can go online and you can find our website, uplandbiblechurch.org. You can order it there. Or if there's anyone that you know who would like to order it, they can order it at that time. It's not on there right now because I haven't finished it. So we continue on with this special on pleasing. One of the first concepts we studied was that when you as a believer are out of fellowship with God, you are operating by the power of your old sin nature. And as you live your life by your sin nature, it is absolutely impossible to please God. That's Romans 8, 5 through 8. When you enter into reversionism, reversionists do not please God. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 16. And in this passage, the reversionists were hindering the teaching of the Word of God. And anyone who seeks to hinder the ministry of God's servants today, pastor teachers, is not pleasing to God. In fact, this passage makes it very clear they place themselves under the wrath of God. We also noted that the faithful communicator of the Word of God serves and strives to please God, strives to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is not to be a man pleaser. Now that's a very important study. Galatians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 2:4. It was in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul wrote, "But just as we were examined in the past, with the result that we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel ministry, even so we keep on proclaiming the gospel, absolutely not as pleasing men, but serving and striving to please God, who continually examines our hearts." In Galatians 1:10, the pastor is declared to be a doulos. That's the Greek word for a slave. Galatians 1:10 says that the pastor is the slave of Jesus Christ. And that's a great thing. The pastor is the slave of Jesus Christ. And as the slave of Christ, the pastor's purpose is to serve and strive to please the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan and purpose and objective for the pastor is to serve and strive to please Jesus Christ, not men. Pastors serve and strive to please the Lord Jesus Christ through faithful and consistent teaching of the Word of God. In this passage, it's dogmatically declared, pastors absolutely are not to be men pleasers, but God pleasers. Faithful pastors do not avoid teaching certain passages of Scripture because they might step on someone's toes or offend somebody. Pastors are to teach the whole counsel of God's Word as an honorable slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is constantly testing and examining the hearts of His servants, pastor teachers, to see, are they man-pleasers? Or are they serving and striving to please God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Then in 1 Thessalonians 4:1 and 2, we see that the pastor's job is to teach you Bible doctrine so that you can know how to please God. So that you can know what pleases God and what does not please God. And that's what we're doing right now. Right now, in this pleasing special, I'm fulfilling 1 Thessalonians 4:1 and 2. And in our passage in 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4, we saw that pleasing God involves maximum self-discipline, separation from the distractions of life, recognizing that Bible doctrine is more important than anything else in life. We noted that it pleased the Lord to make His Word great and glorious, Isaiah 42:21. We studied that God's Word accomplishes what pleases Him, Isaiah 55:11. We studied that the Lord does whatever pleases Him, Psalm 135, 5 and 6. And this is understanding that He is the sovereign God of the universe. As the sovereign God of the universe, His plans are perfect. His decisions are perfect. He never, ever makes a bad decision. And God's plans, He does what pleases Him according to His perfect essence. We studied how the Lord is pleased with those who fear Him. Psalm 147, verse 11. And the phrase to fear Him is category 2, fear of the Lord, which is occupation with Jesus Christ, or personal love for Jesus Christ. In other words, it pleases the Lord when you develop virtue love. It pleases the Lord when you develop personal love for God, when you develop impersonal love for all, when you develop occupation with Jesus Christ, and at that point you fear the Lord. And that pleases the Lord. So that's why you find a sound Bible teaching church and then start assembling consistently and faithfully to grow up in the Word of God, to grow up from babyhood to adolescence to spiritual adulthood and develop this virtue love, develop love for God, impersonal love for all, occupation with Christ. And that pleases the Lord. There's an objective for assembling in a local church and worshiping. And that is to develop virtue love, to develop grace orientation. These are the things that please God. Now you can assemble and come in here arrogant. You know everything. You know more than the pastor does. Then it's not that hard to know more than the pastor does. I'm not going to stand up here and say, I know everything. I don't know everything. What I don't know is infinite. But what you don't know is infinite as well. And so I am here to teach you the Word of God. Now, if you assemble here and you're arrogant, you know everything, then you're not going to develop virtue love. You won't grow up spiritually. If you're sitting here and you're characterized by mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, then you're not going to please God, even though you're here under a mandate. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's a mandate from God. But just because you fulfill that mandate doesn't mean you please God. Because if you assemble here and you're arrogant, you assemble here in mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, you assemble here and you are judging, maligning, slandering your fellow believers, well, you're not pleasing God whether you're here or you're not here. Whether you listen to a tape or you don't listen to a tape. Whether you listen to an MP3 or you don't. It doesn't make any difference. You're obeying a mandate, but you're not pleasing God. So the Lord does whatever pleases Him, and the Lord is pleased with those who fear Him, occupation with Jesus Christ. The Lord is pleased with the believer who understands and knows Him, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. God is pleased to operate by grace, Micah 7:18. God is pleased with believers who have oriented to grace and know Him, Hosea 6:6. And in a very important passage we went into in detail last week, Isaiah 1:11-17. You can obey God's mandates and not please God. You can obey God's mandates and not please God because the purpose of worshiping the Lord is to develop virtue love, grace orientation. But you can obey God's mandates to worship Him and not please God because you have no grace orientation and no virtue love. You can obey God, therefore, and His mandates and still not please God. Isaiah's point in Isaiah 1:11-17 is that the people assume that merely by offering sacrifices, and you see, offering sacrifices in the age of Israel, that was a mandate from God. They had the mandate from God to worship Him, and in the process of worshiping God, they were bringing sacrifices. They were obeying those mandates to offer sacrifices in the age of Israel. But in this passage, God says, I'm fed up with your sacrifices. Your multitudes of sacrifices, they mean nothing to me. I'm sick and tired of your sacrifices. You're obeying the mandate to worship me by bringing sacrifices, but you have no virtue love. You're arrogant. You have no humility. You have no grace orientation. And so bringing the sacrifices don't mean a thing, just like coming here doesn't mean a thing if you're not growing up spiritually. If you're coming here arrogant and not learning anything because you know everything. Same way with the MP3 or a personal computer or whatever. So why? That's no different than bringing a sacrifice. So Isaiah's point is that the people assumed that merely by offering sacrifices at the altar, that they were great believers. After all, they were obeying God. But in that passage, Isaiah 1:11-17, God says that they are not great believers. They're reversionists. Multiple sacrifices are meaningless and do not please God when the worshiper has no grace orientation, no virtue love, no humility, no personal love for God, no occupation with Jesus Christ. We studied how God the Father is well pleased with His eternal Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42:1-4, Matthew 12:14-21. We studied that at the baptism of Jesus, God the Father announced that He is well pleased with His Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:17, Mark 1:11, Luke 3:22. Then again on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord Jesus Christ took Peter, James, and John up to the top of this high mountain, God the Father announced to Peter, James, and John that He is well pleased with His Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:28-17:5, 2 Peter 1:17. And we studied how God the Father was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ, Colossians 1:19. We studied how God was pleased to reveal His Son in the Apostle Paul so that he might become the Apostle to the Gentiles, Galatians 1:11-16. We studied how the spiritually mature believer lives by virtue love and operates by virtue love toward the weak believer and not arrogantly pleasing himself, Romans 15:1-3, 1 Corinthians 10:31-33. We studied that believers on the job should not be men pleasers, but they should do their job as unto the Lord, Ephesians 6:5-8, Colossians 3:22-24. And we studied in 1 Corinthians 7:32-34 that marriage, the divine institution of marriage, complicates life and can make it difficult to please the Lord. You can still please the Lord in marriage, but it demands greater self-discipline. 1 Corinthians 7:32-34. And we studied that the Lord was not pleased with the Exodus generation, Numbers 13:14, 1 Corinthians 10:5, and that that generation died the sin unto death in the wilderness and did not enter the promised land. They did not please the Lord. That brings us to 21. And 21 is that it does not please God to have to administer the sin unto death to the reversionist. It does not please God to have to administer the sin unto death to the reversionist. And this is Ezekiel. First of all, Ezekiel 18:23. Ezekiel 18:23. I believe you're all there. Verse 23 says, "Do I take any pleasure in the death of the reversionist? Declares the Sovereign Lord. Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways, reversion, recovery, and live?" So God doesn't take any pleasure in administering the sin unto death to the reversionist. Look down at verse 30. Ezekiel 18, verse 30. Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, his reversionism, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, which is change your thinking. Change your thinking. Turn away from all your offenses, your categories of reversionism, and then sin will not be your downfall, lead to the sin unto death. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die? Why will you die the sin unto death, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of the reversionist, declares the sovereign Lord. So repent, change your thinking, and live. Change your thinking and live. Now that's not the only. Turn over to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Son of man, this is the Lord addressing Ezekiel, God's servant. Say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. This is warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the reversionist, but rather that they turn from their ways, reversion, recovery, and live. Turn. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die the sin unto death, O house of Israel? Again and again and again, the Lord declares he takes no pleasure in having to administer the sin unto death to the reversionist. He is the holy God, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And if the believer continues to operate in arrogance, continues in rebellion, and functioning in the eight stages of reversionism, then the justice of God must operate. But God is never pleased to administer the sin unto death. So, one, it does not please God to have to administer the sin unto death. He is a holy God, an absolute righteous God, and a just God. And if the believer chooses to make bad decisions in arrogance and go contrary to God and His Word, then the justice of God will act according to His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Two, instead, God is pleased when the reversionist turns away from their reversionism, reversion recovery, repents, changes his thinking, and turns to God, God's plan, will, and purpose for their lives. That's what pleases God. That they change their thinking, get out of their reversionism, and turn to God's plan, will, and purpose for their lives. God would love to bless them with the highest and best of blessing in time and for all eternity. God has the most fantastic blessings for each one of you. A package with your name on it. And He would love to pour out those fantastic blessings on you. He's tapping His foot, just waiting for you to advance to spiritual maturity, to develop virtue love, to develop grace orientation, to develop genuine humility, so that He can pour out these magnificent blessings to you. He would much rather do that. That pleases the Lord. It does not please the Lord to have to administer the sin unto death to the reversionist who is arrogant, and go living contrary to God's plan, will, and purpose for their lives. 3, God is not a petty despot who holds grudges to inflict punishment on those who wrong him. God is not a petty despot who holds grudges to inflict punishment on those who wrong him. 4, as a God of grace, he wants people to turn away from their reversionistic ways and turn to him and his word. The word is used over and over in this passage, repent, repent, repent. Repent means to change your thinking. A change of thinking. And that takes humility, respect for God, his word, and the communicator of it. And as you change your thinking through consistent and faithful perception and metabolization of the word of God, you will develop that virtue love, that grace orientation, that genuine humility. And you will execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And you will please the Lord. The reversionist does not please God. And if the reversionist continues making bad decisions in arrogance, he will receive the sin unto death under maximum discipline, but that does not please God to have to do that. He would much rather have you turn and change your thinking and advance to spiritual maturity and glorify him. So here is a very amazing passage on this pleasing God. It does not please God to have to administer the sin unto death to the reversionist. He will, if the reversionist continues in arrogance and bad decisions, but it doesn't please him. It would please him if they would rebound, recover, reversion recovery, and turn to God and his word. That's what pleases the Lord. 22. Here is a very important principle of pleasing, especially in the time in which we live, when there is worldwide anti-Semitism today and hatred for Israel and wanting to blame Israel for all of the problems in the world. God is pleased with the nation Israel. That's 22. God is pleased with the nation Israel. God has a plan for the nation Israel. God hasn't forsaken the nation Israel. The church hasn't replaced Israel, and therefore God now hates Israel, and so the Christians ought to. And this is replacement theology, and believe it or not, so-called doctrinal churches and pastors are teaching this. And it's evil. It's satanic. It's evil. God is pleased with the nation Israel. Turn over to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. God is pleased with the nation Israel. And as royal family of God, you should have a very wonderful heart for the Jewish people. Isaiah 62 is a passage of eschatology, a prophetic passage, looking ahead, looking at that time when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and establishes his kingdom on earth, which he's going to do. Literally, bodily, physically, Jesus Christ will return to this earth, establish his kingdom on earth, and fulfill the unconditional covenants he made with Israel. And in that millennial reign of Christ on the earth, Israel is the capital of the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, will rule from Jerusalem in Israel. And this fantastic passage tells us how God thinks about Israel. We need to know how God thinks about Israel, not how our president thinks about Israel or how the United Nations thinks about Israel. We need to know how God thinks about Israel. And God loves Israel. He's pleased with Israel. He has a plan for Israel. We need to know how God thinks. Isaiah 62. And this is a millennial, a prophetic passage. Eschatology. About the future millennial reign of Christ on the earth and His attitude toward Israel. Verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations of the whole world will see your righteousness, the righteousness of Israel, and all kings will see your glory, the glory of Israel. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah. All right, now, you remember when we started this special, the pleasing special? We were going through etymology and looking at the Hebrew words that are used for pleasing and the Greek words. Well, the Hebrew word that we studied under etymology that teaches about pleasing is the Hebrew verb kafats. That's C-H-A-P-H. Oops. Don't you hate the oops? Okay. Kafats. And this verb, kafats, means to please, to be pleasing. And that is, Hephzibah is the verb, kafats, and it means, I am pleased with her. That's what Hephzibah means. I am pleased with her. I am pleased with Israel. So the new name is a name that Jesus Christ will give to Israel. He will call Israel Hephzibah. I am pleased with Israel. God is pleased with Israel. And he will call your land Beulah. Beulah means married. For the Lord is pleased with you. And your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you, Israel. So here is the divine viewpoint on the nation Israel. God loves Israel. God is pleased with Israel. God's got a fantastic plan for Israel. In fact, He's going to name Israel Hephzibah from Kafates, which is, I am pleased with Israel. I am pleased with her. So, one, God has a plan for Israel. God has a plan for Israel. Two, when the Lord returns, and He will return, and establishes His kingdom on earth, Israel will be exalted. Israel will be exalted. Three, all the nations of the earth will see Israel's righteousness. All the nations of the earth will see Israel's righteousness. For all the rulers of the earth will see Israel's glory. God is pleased with the nation Israel. In fact, He even gives her a new name, Hephzibah from Kafates. I am pleased with her. So God is pleased with the nation Israel. 23. The Lord is pleased with David. Psalm 41, 11 and 12. Turn over to Psalm 41. This is an amazing thing now. Psalm 41, 11 and 12. And make sure you understand this. When I picked David, and I saw, when I saw this, that the Lord is declared here in Psalm 41, 11 and 12, that He's pleased with David. That's amazing. It was David who committed adultery with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was married to Uriah the Hittite. And Uriah the Hittite was a soldier off at war. David was the king. And he looked from his palace and he saw Bathsheba. And he went and saw Bathsheba and he committed adultery with her. She was married to a very magnificent hero. One of the heroes in David's army. And so David, to cover up his arrogance and his failure, he brought Uriah home so that Uriah could go in and have sexual relations with his wife. But Uriah had so much honor and so much character, so much integrity, he said, I am not going into my wife while my men are fighting on the battlefields. They're putting their life on the line every day. I am not. While my men are fighting in battle, I am not going into my wife. Well, that defeated David's plan. He was hoping that he would, and that would cover up his adultery. So Uriah went back to the battlefield and he did not see his wife. So David told his commander he wanted Uriah placed in a position where he would be killed. And he was. So David not only committed adultery, he committed murder. So here is a believer, he commits adultery, tries to cover it up, he commits murder, and yet God says in His Word, David is a man after my own heart. Not because he committed adultery or murder. Some of you are sitting there going, okay, I got that one down. I want the Lord to be a man after the Lord's own heart too. Now that's some of you. I had to explain that because some of you, you're looking for something. And so he said, David is a man after my own heart. Why? Because David loved God and loved the Word of God. Oh, he was he's out of line. He went through a lot of discipline. He had to ride out a lot of discipline on this. He rebounded, got back in fellowship with God, but he had to ride out a lot of discipline that came to him. And he did. And he is the human author of most of the Psalms in the Old Testament. Because he loved God and His Word. Yes, he was 100% out of line here. And the discipline was great. But he wrote it out. Psalm 41. Notice at the beginning of Psalm 41, for the director of music, a psalm of David. Verse 11. I know that you, the Lord, Jesus Christ, I know you're pleased with me. For my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Psalm 41:11 and 12. This is great for all of you to see and to learn. And you need to understand who and what God is. Yes, He's holy. Yes, He's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And David knows that because the discipline was so great he thought he was going to die. But he didn't die. He was disciplined severely. But you also see, David never, ever wavered when it come to his love for the Word of God, his love for God. He never, ever wavered. And that's why he's a man after the Lord's own heart, and that's why the Lord is pleased with him. So the Lord is pleased with David. 24. The Lord was pleased with Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 10. The Lord was pleased with Solomon. First Kings chapter 10. First Kings 10 verses 1 through 9. We have a queen that is coming from the Arabian Peninsula, way down south in the Arabian Peninsula, 1,200 miles from Jerusalem. And the airplanes weren't flying. The only way you were going to get there was the walk or by camel, and she went by camel, a camel caravan. 1,200 mile by camel caravan. She went to go meet Solomon because she heard so much. Now she lives, she's called the Queen of Sheba. Sheba today is the country of Yemen. Yemen is on the very southern end of the Arabian Peninsula. Southwestern end of the Arabian Peninsula. She was the queen of what is today Yemen and then Sheba. When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, and the palace that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. And she said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told to me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report that I heard. How happy your men must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who is pleased with you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, He has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. The Lord is pleased with Solomon. Both of them, David and Solomon, the basis of being pleased with them was the Word of God. They learned, believed within their heart, wisdom. Wisdom is the Word of God. You learn, believe, is in your heart, and you can apply it skillfully to your life. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. But we're not done with the special on pleasing. We're going to take a break and have you get about 15 minutes out there, whatever you would like to do. And then we'll be back here for part two of this.